أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين. إنما جعل السبت على الذين اختلفوا فيه وإن ربك ليحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون. Shall we starting tafsir of Surah An-Nahl ayah 120. And if you remember the last week in the final closing ayat, we talked about the issue of the things which had been prohibited to the Jewish people in terms of the meats and the things which are halal, but specifically for the Jewish people they were made haram. So that was the last discussion that we had. So connecting to that, we have the ayah which starts today, which talks about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his status. So the status of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is undoubtedly amongst all the madhahib, amongst all the religions, Jewish, Christian is well known, Muslims obviously is well known, but also amongst the mushrikeen of Mecca, they respected Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, knowing him to be the one who actually had built the Kaaba. So his discussion comes up, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us as an ummah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to follow in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Indeed, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was an ummah. And what does this ummah actually mean? The word ummah, in different contexts, it has a different meaning. And there are various places in the Quran that uses the word ummah, and in different places, it means different things. Okay, for example, in the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to Madian, and when he came to Madian, وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. He saw a group of people, يَسْقُونَ, giving water to their sheep. So here the word ummah is being used. So the meaning in that context refers to a group of people that have one focus and one intention. So these shepherds, they came together, they have one focus and one focus only, to make sure that their sheep, they get the right amount of water. So in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word ummah. In other cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word to describe nations like the people of Rome, the nation of Romans, the nation of the Pharisees, basically the Persian Empire, empires basically. And in another context, and this is the usual context in which the word ummah is used, it refers to the people that follow as a group a particular prophet, and we are being in the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We are his ummah because we wholeheartedly follow in his footsteps and we obey what he tells us to do and we do what he has instructed us to do. So from that context, we are an ummah, and this is the context in which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has been described as an ummah. So he himself was a person whose iman, whose conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his generosity, his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were so complete that he was like an ummah by himself. So if you get a group of people, for example, you know, you would have a person who has good qualities. He has good qualities, but he may have shortcomings in others. For example, he might be brave. He, you know, bravery might be his strong point, but then that same person, he may be stingy when it comes to giving in charity. Okay, so another person who may be generous when it comes to giving in charity, but he's very weak when it comes to coming to the masjid. So everyone has shortcomings from different perspectives. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was such that his qualities were complete in every single way. There was no deficiency in his character, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described him as an ummah. He was like an ummah by himself. He had within him all of the qualities that a complete nation will have, not just a single person. So this is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described, that the quality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then after that, there are more qualities. قَانِتَ لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. He submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَانِتًا, قُنُوت is from the same word. When a person is doing qunut, he is basically humbling himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So qanit means he humbled himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hanifan is the next quality. So ummah, qanit, and hanif, the third quality is hanif. Hanif refers to focusing on one single objective. And especially when people all around you are deviant from that objective, you turn away from that deviancy and turn towards that one sole goal of turning away from that deviancy. That is what is meant by hanif. And this quality of being hanif was actually a quality that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had. So in this case, we look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was raised in a household in which not only were statues worshipped, but his father actually used to make statues and sell them. So he was so devoted to his idols that he used to make them and also sell them. He was a manufacturer of idols. So he was raised in that household. So he turned away from the idol worship and he broke all the statues, the very famous story, and he focused on Tawheed. And then there's another incident that is mentioned in the Quran, how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam focused on all of the things that could be taken as great around him. Stars, sun, moon, everything. And he saw that each one had deficiencies and each one finished, disappeared. And how could he worship something that finished, disappeared, was not visible all the time? So he said that I cannot worship any of these things. I worship only the one who created all of these things, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is another incident. Again, focusing only and only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the quality of being hanif and being focused on one objective and turning away from the deviancy. وَلَمْ يَكُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not from the polytheists. He was not from the people that committed shirk. Now, the question is, you have three qualities mentioned already about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was an ummah, meaning he was complete in every sense. He was qanit, he submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was hanif, he was fully focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, he is not committing shirk. All of these qualities that are mentioned here, that means that he is not committing shirk. So why then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ here at the end. He wasn't from the people that committed shirk. So the scholars say that this could have two meanings. Firstly, that it could be referring to that same shirk, which is the opposite of Tawheed. That basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those qualities and immediate understanding of those qualities is not Tawheed. So specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he didn't commit shirk to specify in words that he wasn't committing shirk. But the second meaning is the one that is most wonderful, and that is that he did not have shirk in the sense that he had complete and utter trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree that even the things around him, they were not regarded as having any kind of power whatsoever. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the power. And the understanding of that, or the example of that, would be that when he's thrown into the fire, this huge fire that the people made for him after he broke the idols. And it was such a huge fire that they could not actually put him into the fire physically, so they had to use a catapult to put him into a catapult and actually throw him into the fire from far away. At this point, Jibreel Islam comes and says to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that you need any help from me? He said, not from you. I have only want only help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact is, we know that fire, it burns. We know that fire burns. This is the sabab. The fire is the sabab and the means through which people and things burn. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's conviction and faith was so strong that the burning of the fire was sidelined, and his belief in the Creator was so strong that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect me, and the quality of burning is going to be removed from the fire. So basically, he denied any type of conviction in the things that he saw around him. So many examples we have in our lives. For example, a person, he has a headache and he takes Tylenol, or he has a cup of coffee. He thinks that the Tylenol is the thing that is going to remove the headache from him, and the Tylenol is the one that gives the cure. Or he feels that he has a headache because he didn't have caffeine the whole day. So he feels that the caffeine is the thing that is going to remove the headache. So this is, you know, true in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who puts into these things the power to give a cure, to remove the headache, to remove the pains, to make a person more alert. This is true in a certain sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put those qualities in them. But ultimately, our conviction should not be in those things per se. Our conviction should be Allah is the one who gives the cure. Allah is the one who makes a person free from illnesses. Yes, a person goes to the doctor, seeks a cure, but ultimately Allah is the one who gives the cure himself. So this is what is meant by وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not committing any type of shirk, not even in the sense that he had any conviction in the things that were around him that people usually take for granted, that they do things as opposed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself doing them, only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing them. So this is from that sense, he wasn't committing any shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which also is referred to as shirk khafi. The fifth quality that is mentioned here is shakiral li an'ami. He was grateful for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is this specifically being mentioned here? Because if you remember, either last week or the week before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a village in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed it from many things, and still the village became disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah then sent a punishment down for their ungratefulness. So this, according to some scholars, was Makkatul Mukarramah, which fell victim to a drought for about 7 years, and they were deprived of any types of crops or fruits for 7 years as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as opposed to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the people of Mecca that you're not supposed to be ungrateful for his blessings. You should be grateful, just like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was. Shakiran li an'umi ijtabahu wa hadahu ila sirati mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. The word ijtaba is like the word istafa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, as a prophet, just like he chose all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and especially our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam as a prophet. وَهَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And he guided him to the straight path. So the question is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to the straight path. What does it mean? He was already guided. All of these qualities we've just mentioned, what does this mean from guidance? So yes, he was guided, and he adopted Tawheed, and he rejected the idols. He rejected the worship of the sun, the moon, and the stars. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him further to give him guidelines, to give him a sharia, rules, laws, regulations, and so on. This was the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him ila sirati mustaqim, to the straight path. وَآتَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَآتَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً And we gave Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in this world also hasana. Hasana means good. So how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him hasana? We've already mentioned from one perspective that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was accepted and still is accepted by all the religions, Christianity, Judaism, and even in the days of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the mushrikeen of Mecca actually respected Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And actually, this was a dua that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli min as-salihin waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Lisana sidq refers to a truthful tongue, meaning people praising him, glorifying him, saying good things about him. And even to this day, we understand Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and again, all the madhahib, all the religions, respect and love Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam because of the fact that he was the father of prophets. And in every salat, what do we do? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidu majid. We use Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as an example and make dua for our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that oh Allah, send salutations and blessings upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, just like you did for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. That in itself is such a huge honor that we are comparing and requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor and elevate our Prophet to the status of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and to give him the blessings as he gave the blessings to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So the fact that he has been given in this world hasana, this is one thing that is meant, that he's being praised, loved, and respected by everybody until the Day of Judgment. And the other thing that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in this world was the fact that he was the father of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Father of many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. First of all, he had two children, Ismail and Ishaq alayhi salam. Two children, and Ishaq alayhi salam had the son Yaqub alayhi salam. Okay? Yaqub alayhi salam, also known as Israel, and from Israel, 12 children are born, and those 12 children become the 12 tribes of Israel, or Bani Israel. And from those, in those 12 tribes, hundreds and hundreds of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were born. Yusha alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Isa alayhi salam. All of these were the prophets that were born on that side of the family tree. And on the other side of the family tree, from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Just imagine such a huge and blessed family tree that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has, that all of these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam go back to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam himself. So وَآتَيْنَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً We gave him in this world good. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ And indeed, obviously, so much honor and dignity is given to him in this world. So obviously, in the hereafter, he is also going to be from the ones that are from the pious people and from the ones that are in a good situation. صالح can mean صالح in the sense pious, and صالح can also mean free from any kind of trouble. Okay, so he will obviously, being the prophet that he was, he will be free from all the troubles that people will face in the hereafter. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ Now the Prophet والسلام, our Prophet والسلام, is being addressed here. And when our Prophet is being addressed, that means indirectly we are all being addressed. Allah says to him, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا Then we reveal to you, O Prophet of Allah, anittabi, that you should follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, hanifa, meaning with full devotion. So the same tawheed that he had and the same convictions that he had, the same tawakkul that he had, follow in his footsteps. And actually, even before the prophethood was given to the Prophet ﷺ, he used to engage in worship that had been handed down for over generations, which was the worship that Ibrahim ﷺ used to do. He never engaged in any type of idol worship. Prior to the prophethood, he did that, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized to him after the prophethood that he should continue to follow in the same footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was not from the people that committed shirk. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes into talking about the Jewish people, and specifically talking about the day of the Sabbath or Saturday. The word Sabbath, it is used in Hebrew, Shabbat, and from that is the English word Sabbath. But it is actually also in Arabic, Sabbata yasbitu, Sabbata, it means to rest. Okay, so the day of Sabbath was a day of rest for the people of the Bani Israel and the Jews. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me do the translation and then I'll explain the different meanings. Allah says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. Indeed, the day of Saturday or Sabbath was made upon the people that disputed it. So the story goes that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he presented the day of Friday to his people. And he said to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated this day for you and he's given this day to you. They said, no, we don't want Friday, we want Saturday. Why? Whatever their reasoning was, they said, we want Saturday because it is the seventh day of the week. Basically, after 6 days of working, we want one day in which we rest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after they chose Saturday for them, imposed upon them the strict rules of the Sabbath, that they're not allowed to work at all on Saturday. And even today, Orthodox Jews, they do not work. And even the stricter Orthodox Jews, they don't even drive anything or use anything man-made. So even to the degree that they're not allowed to put the switch on in their houses from sunset on Thursday night from Friday night all the way until Saturday, Friday night. So they, you know, they have ways around it nowadays. You have electronic timers and so on. But this is the rule that the strict Orthodox Jews follow. And also, on the day of Saturday, they're not allowed to drive their cars. So you will see that they will have their houses close to the synagogues and they will be walking to the synagogue on Saturday rather than actually driving. So these are the strict rules that the Orthodox Jews still maintain. But there's a story that is mentioned in the Quran about a specific group of villagers that ridiculed this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How so? They were living near the coast, they were fishermen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them by sending huge amounts of fish on Saturday. Why? To test them. And on the other days, very little fish used to come. So they thought to themselves, well, you know, this is not right. We are being deprived of this fish. This is our livelihood. So what they did, on Friday, they put out the nets and they collected them on Sunday. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the story is in detail. I won't go into the whole thing right now. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them by turning them into pigs and monkeys. And after that, they were destroyed. So yes. Inshallah, we'll come to questions at the end, inshallah. I'll answer your questions at the end. So this story is specifically about, catching the fish and basically working on Saturday that they were forbidden to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them for that. Now, many people, they actually take this story and generalize it for all Jews. And this is not correct. That these are the sons of, na'udhu billah, this is not correct, that these are the sons of monkeys and pigs. And this is not correct because it is about a specific village that specifically disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished that particular village and turned it into pigs and monkeys. But this is not a general thing that we should use for all of the Jews. Okay, this is not right that some people do that. Okay, so all across the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talked about how He honored Bani Israel in so many different ways and how He gave them so many different types of blessings. Again, Surah Al-Baqarah is full of that. I won't go into that now. But this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ السَّبْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. Indeed, the day of Saturday was imposed upon those people that did ikhtilaf in it, that disputed it. Okay? So two meanings. Firstly, they disputed it in the sense that Allah gave them Friday and instead they chose Saturday. That's one dispute. And the second dispute is, like those people did in that story of the village that was close to the sea, they disputed in it, meaning they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them for it. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَيَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Indeed, your Lord will judge between them on the Day of Judgment about that, what they are disputing. So basically, the disobedience that they did and the fact that they didn't didn't take what their prophet had given them in so many instances, not that one instance only. There were many incidents that took place in the time of Musa alayhi salam that they just made life difficult for Musa alayhi salam. The story of the cow, when Musa alayhi salam told them to slaughter a cow, they said, you know, that's confusing. Tell us what the color of the cow should be. What should be the age of the cow? And they just kept on asking question after question until, you know, they restricted the whole thing upon themselves. So that's one incident. Then they had the incident of the promised land, where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told them, the promised land is for you, go. They said, no, there's a huge army inside and they're going to kill us. So you and Harun go and fight. We'll wait here for you. So different incidents that took place with the disobedience of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will judge them on the Day of Judgment about the things that they continued to dispute about. So with that, inshallah, we finish today's lesson and we'll continue with this next week. So what was your question? Why did they make it? Now, Sunday is the chosen day of the Christians. The Christians chose Sunday. The Jewish people, they chose Saturday. And the wisdom or the reasoning that they gave